it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, the Orioles, after being swept in Cleveland, they had to leave the country. And tonight in Toronto. And so tonight we play some Canadian baseball as we open a three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, Blue Jays right now at the bottom of the division standings. And the Orioles right now trying to stay alive in the wild card race. Right now they're three games behind the Minnesota Twins. Now the problem is there are now three teams in between the Orioles and the Twins in that wild card race. That makes it much more difficult. By the way, the Orioles also coming in tonight one game under 500. So they've got a losing record. So first let's get back to 500 and then we'll talk. So tonight game one against the Blue Jays. Skipper Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this.
We're now in Toronto to open a three-game series against the Blue Jays, and we are with the skipper, Buck Showalter. This is the manager's report. Buck, I know it's time to put Cleveland to bed, but that series, three games, lots of grinding in Cleveland. Your club went unrewarded in the three games. What are your thoughts on Cleveland series the next day?
I'm trying to turn the page, Joe. It was a really good club, obviously, but we're a good club, too. We pitched well enough to win a couple of those games, I thought, and just couldn't get mount much offensively, as much as you're always going to start by giving the other team credit. You know, obviously, they're leading the league in starting pitching and leading the league in relief pitching. But, we're capable of better. When you put together that combination with we're not swinging the bats real well, and you're always wondering which comes first, and I think it's the product of both. But in this game, you got to turn the page. You know, even if you have something real positive happen, the next team doesn't care. And, you're always seeking your level. And got a lot of confidence in our guys. They're strong mentally.
Well, to help me maybe turn that page, you look at Hellickson and the job he did against a really good baseball team. At one time retired 15 consecutive batters. You agree if he pitches like that, he could still win a lot of big games this year?
Oh, sure. And I thought Gabe, pitched competitively the night before. But unfortunately, when you're facing some of the other starters competitive, you're going to have to really put a lot of zeros up there. And, you know, it's a good offensive team here, too. But I'm hoping it's a trend that continues.
You mentioned the offense, a phenomenal month of August as a team hit over 300 and had that, major league record, 57 home runs. Lately, five runs in four games. You alluded to it. Is it all about opposing pitching or does confidence come into play?
Oh, it's certainly both, Joe. You know that. And, you look at the body of work statistically and where we rank compared to the other 14 teams in our league, and we're doing well. But we're more interested in now, today. You know, today's game, when? You know, we're running out of games, and we got to make it happen now. And, we're going to – it's like I talked to guys today. We got to play a baseball game tonight. We got to – a baseball game. Grind each at bat, grind each inning. And it's that time of year where you can't give in, and you got to make somebody else quit.
I give it to skipper Buck Showalter in Toronto as we continue with the manager's report. And, Buck, you talked about it. Got to grind, got to play one game tonight. You said the other day it's real hard to win a Major League Baseball game. But if you look at the wild card division right now, Buck, a lot of struggling going on. I think the Twins have lost two straight. Texas has lost two straight. I think Kansas City this week is going on an 11-game road trip. The Angels have to play Houston tomorrow. So, you keep an eye on that stuff. Just keep grinding, huh?
And I don't. And I could care less what those other teams are doing. It's all about us. Regardless of what everybody else is doing, we've got to take care of our business every night and not get involved in that long-term, we need to win X number of games. No, you need to win tonight. You need to compete and keep a real sincere heart about what each game is. That's the only things you can control. I know that's cliche-ish, but whatever somebody else is doing, if we take care of business, we're going to have a chance there that last few days.
What's it going to take, Buck? Does your team have a 7-game win streak in you still?
Well, that's what I just said. You can't look at it like we got to win 7 in a row. We got to do this. We have to do that. No, you need to compete and win a game tonight and then let it go where it does. You start thinking about numbers that you have to put together. We'll let other people crunch numbers. The game's played by human beings, not by a bunch of numbers, and that's why people who deal with these numbers make so many mistakes.
Ubaldo Jimenez tonight pitching in Toronto against the Blue Jays. He pitches well against the Blue Jays, 8 scoreless in late June in this ballpark. Why is it? Does he match up well against the Blue Jays?
Well, now that you've jinxed him completely, I got some suspicions and some ideas, as Roger does, but we're certainly not going to broadcast them to the world, but one thing I have noticed through the years, and I pay a lot of attention to it with hitters and pitchers, ballparks, venues, teams, there's a certain atmosphere and confidence they gain by the memories they have of visually pitching well against those guys.
I did not mean to jinx him, Buck.
Oh, well, I'm going to look up at you if he has a bad start, Joe.
Okay. Not going to happen. Not here. Thank you, Buck.
The Blue Jays at the bottom of the Eastern Division standings, and they've been there 141 days. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but Jim Hunter, he got together with Buck Martinez for the pregame show as we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
On a lovely night in Toronto where the roof is open, the Orioles and Blue Jays open up this three-game series. And what happened to this rivalry? The Blue Jays not cooperating this year. Buck Martinez on the Blue Jays on the Orioles Radio Network.
The Orioles road trip continues tonight. Game one of a three-game series in Toronto against the Blue Jays. And visiting with Buck Martinez, former big league catcher and now analyst for the Jays and a former Masson analyst as well. And Buck, when you looked at the schedule when the season began and you saw Orioles and Blue Jays, 3 weeks to go in the season, showdown series in Toronto, that's going to be a good one. What happened?
Well, you know, obviously both teams had higher expectations and they met last year in a wild card game right here at Rogers Center. But I know in our case, and you know, I don't know the Orioles situation as well as you do, but in the Blue Jays case, you don't have to look any further than the starting pitching. Last year, the Blue Jays were first in the American League in starters ERA. They had the most wins. And winning and losing, winning a championship revolves around starting pitching. I don't care how much you hit, what kind of hitters you have. If you can't have good starting pitching, you're not going to win. So this year, Jay Happ, he won his eighth game yesterday. Last year, he was 20-4. Sanchez won the ERA title last year. This year, he's made eight starts and 36 innings. Stroman's had a good year. He's been stuck on 11 wins for a while, but he's had a real good year. He's fourth in the American League in ERA. Estrada's been healthy, but he hasn't been as good as he was the last 2 years. And, of course, we've had a whole bunch of different guys. I think we've had 15 different starters, and last year we used seven all year long. So that's all you need to know about the Blue Jays.
What's interesting about that assessment is the Orioles, they have the highest starter ERA in the American League, even higher than the Blue Jays, and yet the Orioles are just a game below 500. Toronto's 11 below.
Yeah, and it's true. And I know your ball club's got a very good offense, and of course Jonathan Scope's having a terrific season, and Tim Beckham has done a great job, and Adam, you know, he's one of the best leaders in the game, and he keeps everybody pushing. And Trumbo hasn't had the kind of year he would like, and neither has Davis. But Castillo's come up and done a nice job since he's healthy, and he's put some big numbers on the board. Trey Mancini's, if it wasn't for Aaron Judge, they'd talk about Trey Mancini as Rookie of the Year. But you know what? Baseball is funny. And you know what? I think if you really ask the Orioles, you know, they know they're on the outside looking in right now, and it's going to be difficult for them to get to the postseason, but they certainly are in a better spot than the Blue Jays are.
When you look at the Blue Jays, a couple of years ago, you won the AL East, and last year, as you mentioned, faced the Orioles right here in the wild card game. And I'm wondering, I realize you lost Edwin Encarnacion. That was a huge loss, a team leader, a threat in the box. In fact, won the wild card game with that home run. But do teams sometimes take too long to begin to work in different players and new players just to kind of get some new life in there?
Well, I think you're right on about that, but the Blue Jays didn't have any new players to work in. They just didn't have anybody in their farm system because all of the trades they'd made the last couple of years, going back to the Miami trade where they got Mark Burley and they got Jose Reyes and they got Josh Johnson, and they gave away a lot of talent. And you see some of those pitchers now pitching in the big leagues in other places. So they didn't have anybody to mix in, and I think now they recognize that they have to build up the farm system. Jim, in this day and age, you have to have homegrown players that grew up together in the minor leagues because they're going to fight for one another once they get to the big leagues. Everybody in the game today is making so much money. If you don't have the good character core on your team, you're not going to win. When things go south, they're going to go south with it. But if you have character guys like the Boston Red Sox, when they have Benintendi and Bradley and Bogarts and Betts, they all grew up together. So they're not going to let each other down, no matter what the situation is. And the Dodgers are the same way. The Rockies are the same way. All of the teams that are in contention, look at the core of those teams, and they're all homegrown players.
So do you expect a busier offseason for the Blue Jays, maybe looking to get younger? You talked about those trades they made last year to get into the wild card game. Might it be the opposite where they begin to make trades for the future?
Well, I think they're looking at the future without question, but they don't have many marketable trades they can make. Tulowitzki signed for another 4 years, and he doesn't have a lot of value. He's going to have to play shortstop here. Russell Martin's got 2 more years on his contract, and he's older, and it's just a matter of these guys having to come back and have decent years and then implement younger players. We're taking a look at Teoscar Hernandez right now. Richard Urania's 21 years old. We've got some younger pitchers that have started to make an impact, and I think that that's what the future is for this team. I expect the next year, maybe year and a half, it's going to be kind of difficult here, but I think the encouraging part of you're going to have to bring some younger players into this mix and get younger and more athletic for the Blue Jays.
And from the Orioles side, this team began the year 22-10. They recently had a 7-game winning streak, which got them back into it. The home run power you mentioned and the hitting ability, but unfortunately, when you run into that great starting pitching, as they did in Cleveland, it neutralizes all that.
Boy, it sure does. And you know what? That's the theme of the postseason, as we all know. When you go to the postseason, the team that has the best starting pitching is going to win. And this time of the year, you know, this is almost like 2007, when the Colorado Rockies got so hot in September, and they carried that right all the way to the World Series. At the same time, you look at the Dodgers, who have lost 10 in a row. It's just like the Mets in 2007 that were in a comfortable position to go to the postseason, and in the end they were on the outside looking in. So this is a very important time for everybody, the winning teams and the teams that are trying to get back in it. And I think it's a tough time to win when you're kind of like in between. You're not a real dominant team.
Insights of Buck Martinez on the Toronto Blue Jays, who come in tonight 11 games below 500. They have lost 15 of their last 22 games. The roof is open. It is a beautiful night here in Toronto. Opener of a 3-game series. Stay tuned for Orioles baseball.
Games like this, every run is consequential. And the Orioles here tonight gave up a couple of runs that should not have scored, really. I mean, in the second inning, on a ball that was hit by Hernandez, a pop-up that should have been the third out. But Mike Trumbo never saw the ball. He lost the ball in the twilight. So I guess you can't catch it if you don't see it. The ball dropped in, and then Trumbo kicked it into the lower deck, and that gave Hernandez an extra base, and so he scored from third base on an infield groundout. So what should be an out turned into a run. And then later in the bottom of the sixth inning, with a count 0-2, Miguel Castro hit Montero with a pitch. And then there was a swinging bunt single, and then there was an out to advance a runner, and then there was another swinging bunt single, and that drove in what turned out to be the lead run. And so when you're struggling, things like that happen. Orioles here tonight get beat 4-3. Well, the Blue Jays had the lead in this one against Ubaldo Jimenez. And Ubaldo survived a bases-loaded situation with two outs in the first inning. He threw 29 pitches, but the Blue Jays did not score. And then came the second inning when Hernandez was the leadoff hitter, and all he did was put the ball in play, and Trumbo just couldn't find it. The 2-2 pitch on the way. Hernandez skies one here. Should be caught. Shallow right. Racing it. Trumbo. Oh, he misjudged it. He lost that ball. He misjudged it. The ball landed maybe 20 feet behind him and then bounced in foul territory and then over toward the lower deck and went out of play. Trumbo looked as though he was in position, and then all of a sudden, It was almost as if the ball had hit something up there and then taken the ball away from Trumbo. Well, as it turned out, yeah, he just looked like he lost that ball in the twilight. Didn't hit anything up there. He just never saw it, apparently. And when Trumbo went to field it, he actually assisted the ball into the lower deck, and that gave Hernandez an extra base. And from there, he scored on Goins' infield groundout. Then later in the same inning, Barney a double. And a ball that Adam Jones booted in center. When he grabbed it, he tried to throw the ball back in toward the infield. The ball got away from him. So that went for a miscue. And then Urena came up to hit. And the pitch to Urena. Line drive over scope. That's a base hit to right center. So that'll drive in a run. Now Trumbo fires into second base. And the tag there is too late, as Urena beat it with a head first slide. And a ball hit to the gap in right center. Urena never stopped. He kept on running and turned it into a double. And it's a 2-0 Blue Jay lead. All right, so that was it. Blue Jays got just the two runs. Arena was stranded out there in scoring position. Well, the Orioles finally on the board against Marco Estrada in the top of the fourth inning when Manny Machado led the inning off with a double. And after Scope struck out, Adam Jones got the big hit.
Estrada deals, swinging a line drive and a base hit in the left field. Machado had to hold to see if it went through. He's being sent anyway. Carrera will throw to second base. Machado scores on an RBI single by Adam Jones, and it's a 2-1 game. Manny held to make sure that line drive got through, and with Ezekiel Carrera playing deep, Bobby Dickerson sent Machado all the way.
Yep, good send. Adam Jones picked up his 69th RBI. So suddenly, it's a one-run game, but not for long. In the bottom of the fourth inning, one out, bases empty. Ryan Goins, the hitter.
And the 1-2 to go, and swung out and drilled the deep right field. That ball's going to go. Trumbo is back, and he watches it go. There's a home run. So Ubaldo badly missing his spot on a 1-2 pitch. For Goins, his seventh home run makes it a 3-1 Toronto lead.
So back to a two-run Blue Jay advantage. But then Trumbo came up the leadoff hitter in the fifth inning. And the 1-2 pitch. Trumbo fly ball left center. Backing up is Carrera. Backing up. Pivot, bye-bye. It's a Trumbo jumbo at Rogers Center. It landed beyond the bullpen in left center. In that lower deck in the bleachers out there, Trumbo number 23. It's a one-run game. Blue Jays ahead now 3-2. There you go. So second time of the game, it was a one-run encounter until the bottom of the sixth inning. When against Miguel Castro, Miguel Montero, the leadoff hitter, Castro got ahead 0-2, but then with a breaking ball, he hit him. And so Montero was on base with nobody out. And then Hernandez up, an infield single, little dribbler, that went for a base hit. After Goins grounded out, and with a runner in scoring position, close to home plate, Barney came up to hit. He hit the ball gently, but hey, it worked out for him.
And the 1-1, check swing and a roller towards first. This is going to be a tough play, and a runner's going to score. And the flip to first and safe at first as Castro got in the way of Scope, and Davis was late with the throw. Davis looked up, and Castro was in between Davis and the bag, and he hesitated ever so slightly and then flipped around Castro's body to Scope, but too late. So that is another swinging bunt base hit, and a run scores as Montero comes in, and it's 4-2 Toronto.
Yeah, so there you go. Miguel Castro was throwing the heck out of the ball. I mean, throwing really well, and yet he was victimized by some gently hit baseballs, and that's how the Blue Jays scored what turned out to be the winning run. But the Orioles came back in the seventh inning against Danny Barnes. There was a walk to Mancini, and that's when Dermody, a left-hander, came in. He struck out Chris Davis and then would make his exit. That's when Kohler, a right-hander, came in to pitch. Trumbo hit a ground ball to third, but then Caleb Joseph came up to hit, and again, it became a one-run game.
Kohler from the set. And the pitch, swinging a line drive, base hit up the middle. Mancini rounding third, he's being sent. Here's Pilar's throw towards the plate. It is cut off by Morales, and the Orioles are back within a run. Caleb Joseph with a huge base hit, not only with two men down, he was 0-2 in the count.
So the Orioles kept getting closer and closer. I mean, three times they came back to make it a one-run game. After that, that was it because, the Blue Jay bullpen took over again. The eighth inning, the young rookie, the right-hander, Carlos Ramirez, he came out of the bullpen and, he got him 1-2-3. And then eventually it was Dominic Leon out of the bullpen, a right-hander. He gave up a single to Adam Jones to get the ninth inning started in a one-run game. But then Mancini was out on a comebacker, sending Jones into scoring position after at second base. So the Orioles had a chance with a base hit to maybe tie the game and extend it. It didn't happen. Chris Davis came up to hit. He struck out. And then Trumbo would end the game. Trumbo at the plate. He digs in. Leon, he delivers. Trumbo swings and misses. And that's it. That's the ball game. Orioles in the loss column again. They've lost five straight. And those wild card aspirations are getting dimmer and dimmer. The Blue Jays pick up their third consecutive victory as they win the first of a three-game series. Well, the Orioles got swept in Cleveland, and now they're beaten in Toronto. And right now, they just cannot find a way to win a game. Well, they lost five straight, and they have now gone 3-8 since that wonderful but distant seven-game win streak. And Jim Hunter will continue Browns Honda City postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Rogers Center as the Blue Jays grab the opener of this three-game series, winning it by the final of 4-3. So the Orioles have now lost five consecutive games. First time since the All-Star break, by the way, they have lost at least five in a row. And it's back-to-back one-run losses after the loss last night in the finale in Cleveland as the Indians completed the three-game sweep. Time now to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments, Gary Thorne with Buck Showalter.
Skip, strange things happening in the innings where runs were scored, I thought. I mean, just unusual.
Just snake bit. You know, they have three or four infield singles, check swings. That's the way it goes. It's really frustrating because I thought we pitched pretty well tonight. And, you know, we still didn't swing the bats well. Estrada's been tough on us. We actually had one of our best outings against him last time at our place. But he made the adjustments and got back to what he does so well. It's just so hard. He's got such a great changeup and locates well. But I thought our pitching staff deserved a better fate.
Menez's a start, not bad. He gave you a chance.
Well, he gave us a good chance. You know, he got some breaks where, you know, he lost a ball in the twilight and two or three swinging bunts, check swings, and, you know, just snake bit tonight.
Castro continues to impress seemingly every outing.
Well, I like his presentation and his composure. You know, when things go out of his control, a swinging bunt or something like that, he doesn't woe is me, and very mature, and he really wants this, Gary, and he's willing to do the things it takes to make some steps, and we're proud of the job the whole organization's done with him, and especially the job he's done.
Skip, does it get a little tense for the guys now? I mean, you know what you got to do. You got to win these ball games here. You take them one at a time, but just running out of time, huh?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, it's what's so challenging, Gary, is to have that sense of urgency, but still stay within yourself. And, you know, everybody says, oh, geez, you know, don't try to do this too much. But that's what guys do. They try hard. And everybody's looking for that fine line between being relaxed and letting the game come to you. And that can make it a lot harder than it is.
How about Wellington? Can we get an update on him?
He was feeling worse, obviously, after that inning. And he's at the hospital getting an ultrasound and some testing done to see. You know, he had this issue before, so we want to be real careful with it. And we'll see if we need to make an adjustment in our roster.
Thank you, Skip.
Thank you.
All right, so post-game comments of Buck Showalter and the final question by Gary Thorne. Wellington Castillo, who was hit by a foul tip that bounced down and hit him in the groin area, and he came out the next half inning with what was called a contusion. And as Buck just said, he's at the hospital getting checked out. So hopefully Wellington Castillo will be okay, and the Blue Jays win this game by a final of 4-3.